Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Piercing the Veil. Last week, we had Ross Diot, a spiritual rapper. This week, we have no guests. We're taking calls live on the air. Any topic is welcome. We're going to try to apply a comprehensive solution. If we have the answer, we'll give it to you. We have a few people that should be calling in shortly. And until then, what we'll do is just sort of bounce back and forth between me and Corey. Corey, how are you feeling today?
Everything's great, man. Especially nice today.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really excited to answer really important questions, man. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the world recently, in my personal realm as well. Had some major successes since last week. We'll be getting into those on future shows. As you know, we were doing the blog. That went live today as well. We'll be doing future posts with techniques and things of that nature to sort of assist people in a visual manner, with a little bit of a satire attached to it. So our YouTube videos will be comical for everybody, not just for people that are really interested in the technical aspects. So, Corey, thank you for helping me with that. And that's what we have going on right now.
Yes, a little edutainment.
Cool. So what have you been getting into recently with all of your knowledge and things like that? We'll just kind of talk back and forth while we wait for our first caller.
As far as my own processes and things?
That's right. Anything new happening for you?
Well, I'm looking at, I got another little letter from the IRS. And I got a presentment from them a while back. And as you recall, that was part of a process that we did. And then I was getting the 45-day letter. Mm. Like, we need more time to assess your account. And I got a few of those. And then I got another bill.
Okay.
I believe was the same as the previous one, just with some extra penalties or something, extra charges.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about this. I'm not quite sure I'm clear what we've done on it so far. Did you respond to those 45-day things? I have so many people and so many clients.
Yeah, we did a return on those 45.
Great. Yeah, I thought I remembered something. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we'll do the same thing with the next one. My suggestion to you would be to analyze what they're saying. If it looks identical as what's been sent before, And if they're asking you for performance, I believe we kind of touched on this in a previous show, but if they're asking you for performance on their terms, you can let them have it, but you want to grant it back to them on your terms. Mm-hmm. So great. Yes, you need 45 days. Wonderful. You guys can have 45 days on the conditions that, if you don't settle this matter after the 45 days, then my body and my time are no longer collateral and you guys have to go settle your accounts whatever way you want to. Other than that, and, if I don't hear from you, then it's going to be your performance. Mm-hmm. And then also on the condition that, I don't have to respond to you any further. If you do make some sort of mistake or clerical error and continue to send me presentments, I'm not obligated to respond any further. So then you don't even have to do the return.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's all about the time value.
Right.
Yeah, so that's where I would suggest you go with that. And also, since you've got sort of a backlog, it sounds like, you're going to want to identify one of the documents as your primary document. So say, for example, the most recent one is what I would go with, which is the bill. You're going to cross everything out. That's because you don't like anything they're saying, obviously. And you're going to write your counter stipulations on one of them. Say C reverse on the back. And then on the other two, you think you have two other presentments, correct?
I had the bill, and then I had the, and then I had I have another 45-day letter.
Great. Okay, so you have two presentments. Mm. So identify one as the main document. The other one you're going to cross out as well. And on that one, on the front, you'll write something along the lines of refer to incorporated and previous notices, and then see reverse on the back. Package those up, put them back in a manila envelope, seal that up, address it properly, and then if you want to write any terms on the back, you can do so. If those people choose to unseal the envelope under those terms, then they're bound by them, and it's your duty to prove that they are bound by it. It's not some magical bullet where they're automatically going to go, oh, well, I've got to do what you say now. You understand? But you will have that as a tool for enforcement should you have to. Like if you need to go into court and make a civil claim or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Great.
Generally, what will happen is if you continue to respond in a comprehensive manner, in a way that offers to them some sort of valuable performance, like, hey, I'm willing to give you more time, right? Or I'm willing to, here's $100 in a postal money order, or here's like $50 in good faith, because I believe, I'm trusting that you guys are going to do your duty and what you're required to do to make sure that this obligation is settled. And until then, you know, I'm not going to give you any cash. Because then, you know, it's a moot point after that. So you can do that, and the typical result is they'll renegotiate. And generally, after the third time, in my experience with most of these companies and agencies, which is very ironic, the law of three, after about the third time, they just go away. And, you know, one can make the point or the argument, well, you never know, maybe there's a warrant or there's a you know, a case that's coming or a charge or a civil this or that. Well, yeah, you could sit and worry about that and manifest it as your result if you choose. Or you can continue to stand in the reality and dimension of, no, it has been settled. I'm not obligated to deal with it any further. And if they do try to do something detrimental, now I have a leg to stand on based upon my records of performance.
Right, right.
That's where I would suggest you go.
All right. All about the record.
Yeah. Nice.
How about you, man? What's the latest?
Oh, I am operating from coast to coast, giving consultations internationally as well, assisting a few people in Canada with certain things. It's always a delight to be able to resolve something in a very efficient manner. Typically that's not the case, but when it does work out that way, it's very enjoyable. So I got to say it's been a great week. We've had a pretty big success. It's, you know, something that the details of are sort of a private nature. However, just rest assured that it was pretty substantial and I'm feeling great about it. So, it just had to do with, it just had to do with a side of the road encounter, which is very beneficial and positive. So nice. We might make those details public at a later time when I get the guy on as a guest. I'm going to surprise everybody.
All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, so that's what's happening with me. You know, obviously we don't have any callers yet. There is a few people that have been queued up. I've got one person in California that has an issue that should be calling. If not, we'll continue on, and you know, our topic, in lieu or in exchange of answering questions, would more than likely be something along the lines of dementiality, spirituality, and psychedelics. What do you think about that?
You know what? I was just thinking the same thing. Amazing, simpatico.
Yes, synchronicity, brother.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, yes. What's your take on it?
Well, I mean, specifically on spirituality, I think there's a lot of misconstrued concepts. There's also a lot of finer points, which are just wonderful and intuitive. Just things that come to you naturally, I believe, are truly spiritual, as opposed to something you read in a book or some sort of way to be spiritual or some sort of way to act spiritual or something to do. Does that make sense? That's what I term spiritual, is the intrinsic, the innate withinness, for lack of a better term, right? That wholeness inside of you where that knowing flows out, and that trickles down into, you know, other realms of your life. And obviously you can spend all day meditating or doing doing some sort of sounds like we might have somebody. Let's see here.
No, that was on my end.
That was your end. No worries. Yeah. Everything's meant to be. Well, Yeah, so specifically speaking, you can do the meditation, you can do all that stuff, and attain those sort of interdimensional states and that wholeness, that constant wholeness, which everybody, I think, has experienced a moment of at some point in their life, well, I would hope, right? Whether doing something you love or intentionally sitting in silence, whatever the case may be. And there are shortcuts to that state. Sleep, for one. You know, a lot of people don't talk about sleep. When you go to sleep, you leave your body. I don't care what anybody else says. The science and the research and everything proves it. It's been proved empirically. Okay.
Sleeping and dreaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Your brain is a separate thing from your mind, at least in my opinion, my experience, and others as well. The brain is sort of like the computer, the mind being the software, and then the operator controller being the consciousness, and the consciousness is also guided or mentored by the oversoul, which is the wholeness or whole aspect of the soul, the essence of it, if you will, that's experiencing itself in multiple different ways throughout the universe, dimensionally, excuse me. And according to that, you know, above that would be source or God or whatever you choose to call it. There is some sort of energy or being or beingness, if you will, that permeates down to your very inner core. And so there are shortcuts to that realm, and sleep is one of those. Another would be, you know, psychedelics, things that have been used ritually for, you know, thousands of years. The most well-known, I imagine, would be something like ayahuasca or DMT or peyote, so on and so forth. You know, and I've had some experience with those in my life, which have been just extremely profound, and have listened to other stories as well. You know, one guy was telling me a story, you know, and I took the DMT and I chose to blast off, or I chose to leave my body and chose to walk through the door. And all of a sudden I was in the universe, literally in the universe, in a canoe. Right, paddling through the universe in a canoe, and no, it wasn't a delusion. It wasn't a hallucination. It wasn't a, you know, oh my God, look how cool this is. It was a pure conscious, like, sensory experience. I felt the oar in my hands. I felt the pull of whatever substance was in the, you know, the universe that felt like water. I was moving. Right, I felt movement. I didn't have to breathe. I noticed that I didn't have to breathe. Those types of details, which clearly show that he was having an experience and remaining conscious.
Right.
He says at some point, well, I came to this passing or this crossing or this bridge. I don't know how to describe it. And there was this gigantic entity that was glowing. And it said, it said, "You're not ready. Come back later." And end his trip. Instantly ended his trip. Instantly. Boom. Bam. He was back. Right? So these types of experiences, and I'm sure if you do a search on YouTube or some sort of internet Google search, you'll find plenty of stories, both written and in video content that will explain to you in great detail, in very specific detail, these people's experiences. And, you know, I mentioned DMT because it's the core component of every psychedelic and indeed all substance. It's in everything.
Right. All living things. Yeah.
Can be extracted from anything.
Yeah, and apparently DMT production floods in the body at birth,
death, and dreaming.
And death and dreaming in particular.
That at the start, at the end, and in between. It's got to be there for a reason.
Right.
So what's your take on that? What's been your experience personally with the psychedelics? Mine's overall has been extremely positive and uplifting and emotionally supportive for months. Seven, 8 month period of remembering that experience in a positive manner, and not necessarily from a, oh, I have to have that experience again, you know, like you would see in perhaps an alcoholic or a crack fiend or something like that, but more of a, wow, that was pretty profound. You know, I don't really have an inkling to do that again because that was such a download. You know, I got to wait for a bit and I'm still experiencing the benefits. So, you know, I don't really need it right now. But, you know, when I do need to go to the next level, I know it's there. That's what I felt. What's your take on that?
Well, there's plenty of mind-altering substances, right? I mean, there's nicotine, there's caffeine, food, You know, certain foods, certain substances in basic foods have an effect on the mind and to some extent. I think in terms of the psychotropics or the psychedelics, I think is a very narrow set of molecules that are involved and that affect the consciousness or through the brain, through the nervous system, affect the consciousness in a very specific way.
I would say they're keys, Corey, to unlock an expanded state of awareness, which is a natural state. It's not a supernatural state, and it's not a altered state, but is the true origination or natural state of the soul, of the entity, of the energy, of the being, if you will. And the confinement into a physical body is merely a fractal, if you want to call it that, or a sort of a representation, a small part of the whole of what's really happening.
Right. A very specific set of experiences here in the physical body, I guess, that's typically. I've had some great experiences on psychotropics, psychedelics.
Would you be willing to share anything?
Sure. I would say ayahuasca in particular. It's kind of like the mother, like the grandmother of all of them somehow. And I don't know, my experience with it has been, or as opposed to LSD, for example, which I haven't done in a while, but I have done that. and that seems like I know it's from an organic substance, right? Ergot?
Well, it's funny you mentioned LSD. I wanted to segue real quick. I apologize for interrupting, but it's very important. I think our listeners should know that the microchip, the discovery of the human genome, and a myriad or a number of other things were discovered on microdoses of acid in controlled studies and experiments.
Wow.
The guy said he could literally see the genes and DNA working. Wow. Right? And then when he went and researched it, he confirmed his studies. So I feel that acid, whether it be microdosed or full force, is sort of a laser-like experience, at least right. In my personal observation of it. It's a it's a very focused, intrinsic, expanded abilities, you know, crossover of sensory input, you know, smells become colors, become sounds, and right. Fluidness and stuff like that. Whereas the mushrooms are more of like a spiritual state or a teacher, a healing, emotionally healing state, whereby, you know, I'm not afraid to admit live on the air around the world, I cry. Every time I've had a mushroom experience, I cry and I heal from trauma. No one will ever convince me it's a drug. And it's nothing I have to have. Right? It's something that's very appreciative. It's like, well, you know, if somebody handed me a chocolate-covered cherry and I hadn't had chocolate in 2 years, I'd be like, wow, thank you very much. Mm. You know? Just that delightful experience. So I've tried some of the things that you're talking about. What's the most profound for you? What was the most, if you could single out the single most experience that really changed your life so people can get sort of a real specific idea of what benefits?
Well, I'll give you two. I'll give you my first one, which was LSD back when I was probably a teenager. I probably just graduated high school or something. And that was pretty profound to be released in a way from normal consciousness and have an expanded consciousness. And as you know, as you say, even what we expect through our senses being completely unexpected, you know, like you say, you know, smelling sounds, seeing tastes, all these kinds of, you know, synesthesia and you know, and I could see that I kind of was already in, I was already in a headspace like that. I was already kind of searching in a spiritual manner. I had done some research regarding the psychedelic experience, some reading and stuff like that. So, you know, I was kind of prepared for it already. Now, I can imagine you hear these stories about, I guess back in the 60s or whatever, right? The Kool-Aid parties, right? Where they would just dose people up unsuspectedly. And I can imagine that could go either way. You know, I would imagine that would be very traumatic.
Well, again, the
no idea what was going on. If you had no idea what to prepare for, and all of a sudden your world, you know, as you're accustomed to it, is radically altered.
Have you ever heard of homeopathy?
Yeah.
Putting the substance that one individual is suspected of being infected with or afflicted by into a jar or container of water, thereby amplifying it, but without the negative connotation, so that you drink the water, the body provides, it stimulates the proper or provokes the proper immune response, and therefore, you know, it's able to heal itself. Well, everything is water, and communications through water means amplification. So I brought that example so you could see how things are amplified. Like a very minuscule portion of a virus could be amplified in a way that's not ultimately negative. So yes, if somebody is dosing people unsuspectedly, that originator, that single person, right, depending on their intent, their energy that's being put into the acid and things of that nature, then you know, that's going to dictate what's happening with everybody else, and especially when it mixes with the water and the Kool-Aid. You understand?
Right.
So that amplifies whatever that individual's intent was. Everybody will react to it differently. Some people might be more susceptible to the energetics than others, which would result in a bad trip, for lack of a better term. But again, it's the originator, right? Even if the other people don't know, the originator's intent is somehow communicated through the water from his original DNA, from his field expression, through his aura, through the acid, through the acid to the water, amplified into the Kool-Aid. People drink it, goes into their energy fields, so on and so forth.
Intention, that's one thing in my experiences. You know, whether you're just hanging out doing it with friends, or whether it's in a more spiritual situation or ritualistic situation, the intent is I think is pretty important, right?
Yeah, obviously you didn't bring up the story about somebody dosing it, just, you know, as a suggestion to anybody. That's ridiculous. It's just highlight the fact that even when somebody doesn't even know they're being dosed with a psychedelic, they still have the experience, which shows that it's not just a placebo. It's a real condition.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And then the other most profound would probably be on ayahuasca. I found it to be very organic in a way, whereas acid to me was all out of this world, like literally. I didn't, you know, my experience on LSD, I didn't feel like I was necessarily a part of nature, per se.
Well, you know? what it did for you there, or my experience of it, is it connects you to a higher part of yourself. You get expanded abilities, very much focus, stuff like that. Whereas the mushrooms do the same thing, but they connect with you to nature as well, because that's where they came and originated from. And then the ayahuasca, again, is a vine and human saliva mixed together, which provides the MAOI inhibition, excuse me, and which lets the medicine do its work, right? And I have yet to participate or partake of ayahuasca. I'm extremely excited to go down and do a ceremony somewhere in Peru. Coming up this year. So what were the details? Did you purge? Like what happened exactly?
Yeah, typically also too, it's a two-part process. There's there's the vine itself, which I think is the psychoactive. And then there's another plant, another leaf that they boil up with it, mix with it. That is the MAO inhibitor. So okay. So they actually work that in.
So the saliva serves a different purpose, because I've traditionally seen them all spit into the sort of to have like a connected experience, perhaps, or maybe the shaman, you know, because the shaman's going to microdose, so he's able to guide and be on the level he's competent and assist people.
Right. Right.
How does that work?
In my experience, yeah, typically the shamans, the guides, they dose to some degree to be in the experience. Typically the ayahuasca ceremonies are more like a inward journey, you know, where there's no talking going on. You might have multiple people in the room, and everyone kind of has their, I guess the idea is that everyone has their own kind of individual experience in a field, if you will, in an energetic field with everyone else in the space. But it's kind of an individual type of journey. And typically in my experience, people will have specific intentions that they bring, perhaps certain issues that they wish to resolve. It could be any number of things, addressing past emotional traumas. I know of a woman who actually had a brain tumor, and so she was working on healing herself of the brain tumor, and has gone through many different modalities, healing modalities, and so forth, and found and actually went into remission once she started getting into the ayahuasca work. So, somewhere in there, a lot of my experiences, sometimes you get a lot of visuals. You know, the experiences for me have been pretty radically different. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's very active, very visual. Other times, not so much activity. Sometimes really detached from the body. Other times really present
in the body. Yeah.
The one I would say overall, my experience with ayahuasca, it's almost like you can come in with a specific intention, a specific question on a specific matter, and typically you can get some kind of resolution, some kind of feedback,
guidance.
I typically have the sense that it's really just kind of resetting under the surface, under my conscious awareness. I'm typically conscious of a lot of activity that's going on kind of behind the scenes, like a defrag.
It's sort
like
of
a
similar
hard drive defrag.
It's similar to a thunderstorm, and I don't mean like a chemtrail-induced thunderstorm or weather or anything like that, but a rarity, which is a natural, grandiose, huge thunderstorm, that comes through an area. And what it does is it's actually discharging lightning and balancing the ions in the air. It's sweeping or cleaning the atmosphere and the ground and the plants and the people, and your energy field is being cleaned. So when it's coming right overhead and the lightning and the thunder are synchronized, which, everybody knows, lightning strikes and you count how many seconds till you hear the thunder, and that's how many miles away approximately, all that jazz.
Right.
Well, when it's right on top of you, you're going to feel uneasy and weird, and it's all the things that are being shifted around and cleaned out and roto-rooted, if you will. Right. I think Thomas Bearden talks about this. You can look him up on YouTube, Colonel Thomas Bearden. And it's sort of like just an energetic vacuum cleaner, and whoosh, and it just cleans you right out. And I do feel and have experienced that certain psychedelics operate in such a manner, but within the body and within the field of consciousness, the personal ego consciousness construct. Mm-hmm. And it sounds similar to what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
It says nature does it on a whole, and right. we experience it on a fractal as a part.
Right, right. So, yeah, typically, again, my experience has been I have gotten specific feedback related to specific questions or intentions that I brought. And then also at the same time, you know, there's this sort of behind the scenes defragging or cleansing, if you will. Part of the ayahuasca, typically I don't very often, but typically there's a physical purging, mm-hmm. which I think I would doubt seriously that anyone who's done it at least several times has not purged. It's a part of the process. And I'm sure there's other things too, like peyote. There's purging. A lot of the psychotropic plant medicines, you can expect to purge, and that is actually a part of the cleansing process, right? So on the physical level,
yes,
the body's being cleansed and purged.
Removal of bacteria, viruses, parasite, viral loads, I should say, not viruses right. that are ingrained in DNA, but viral loads, bacterial loads, parasites. Right. Anything that's in your body energetically that's causing a physical result, all that stuff comes out. And for our listeners who don't understand what we mean by purge, it's extremely detailed and graphic. It comes from both ends, typically.
Right, right. right, right.
Meaning vomit and diarrhea. So,
yeah, it's like the concept behind fasting. You know, you start with the body, the gross matter, if you will, or the denser energy of the physical, or what we call the physical, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're cleaning out, if you're detoxifying the body, which is what some of these substances do when you purge, then you lighten the load, if you will, the energetic load, right? The stuff that the body has to deal with. Right, that stuff's out of the way, and so then those energies can be used for higher energetic work, if you will, or spiritual work.
Mm.
So that's a definite, it's a definitive part of the process, the purge. So, I've had experiences with various groups of folks and different medicines and different approaches and techniques and things. And, you know, I would just say ultimately this, at least the psychedelics and the plant medicines, they work on the ego, I think, in a way, or they allow you to have an experience where the ego is not dominant, which I guess for most of us typically in our waking life, right? The ego and the mind and the chatter and the
mask, the shell, the shield, the perceptions, the worldviews, the
social construct, all of that
mm-hmm.
is dominant. And I would say under these mind-altering substances, the psychedelics, in my experience, you get to view the world outside of that ego construct.
Yeah, that's definitely been my experience as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we don't have any callers. I'm really digging this topic, Corey. It's excellent. I like where you're going with the ego. I do have a few points I want to touch on before we end today's show. So what we'll do then is we'll go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about ego death, which is something I've experienced personally and sort of falls in line with what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll see you when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Well, okay. Today we were speaking a little bit about spirituality. We had a live call-in show. We didn't have any callers so far, so we sort of segued into spirituality and psychedelics and talked a little bit about that. It looks like we do have a caller on the line, finally. His name's John, and I believe I actually know him. He's calling in personally. So we'll go ahead and bring him in right now. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Hey, good.
Awesome. So I did DMT a couple of weeks ago, actually. Jordan, you were there, I believe. So, and I was just wondering, is there any particular use with psychedelics to help with recalling past lives or any of that sort?
Well, yeah, I would imagine that's something that you guys could intend when you're using these types of tools. And I've actually had a similar experience to what your question is, which is, can you access past life information? And yes, I can.
Yes,
I have. So yes, it's quite possible. It's extremely enlightening and empowering. It's empowering to know, for somebody who might have a fear of death, John, which is like
everybody
on the planet. Yeah.
Right.
It's empowering
to
know, not only was I somewhere before, but I did things that were in line with what I feel as a personality, who I am now, and I know I will continue to do things when I leave this body. So yeah, that makes me feel great. And so I think it's an integral or important experience of the psychedelics or any, you know, anybody's path, you know, meditation or spirituality, however you choose to attain these states while in the body for better understanding. I think it's very important to understand that, yes, you're going to have another chance to do this, and yes, you've done it before. So that's a very good question. If you don't mind, you know, for our callers, you know, if you just want to enlighten us, how was your experience as far as any insights or, you know, did you blast off?
Yeah, it was a beautiful experience. I didn't have very much notice. Usually I like to do my psychedelics or any kind of recreational drug or any kind of, you know, like psilocybin or anything. I like to do it ceremoniously and, you know, go in like,
as a drug,
prepare for
it. Without spiritual use, what would be classified as a drug? When you take it ecclesiastically and you're taking a substance that's been taken for thousands of years medicinally by people, it sort of overstands a construct that's only been around for 200 years, right? So I just want our listeners to understand that, where we're coming from.
Or 50 years.
Yeah, so your body is to do whatever you want with. So you're talking about preparation, basically.
Right, yeah. Yes, I was preparation. Oh, yeah, okay. So I only had about 5 minutes of notice going into the actual trip. You know, it was just there and available, and it was offered to me for free. And within that first five minutes, I knew, like, I've heard from everyone that you were supposed to have an intention when going into it. And just that 5 minutes alone was enough to transform the experience into a completely euphoric one, which is pretty much what my intention was. And and I just can't imagine what it would be like to have even more notice than that. Like, say, maybe, you know, form a good intention over a course of a week or so. And
yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that, John, because there's a really strong thing in intentional community and visualization circles and people like this. They're missing the point. Visualization is great, but unless you can hold that energy for a consecutive period of time that's longer than a couple seconds, like a goldfish, which is even I have trouble doing because of every energy that's bouncing around, the cell phone radiation, all these things are bouncing through the air constantly that your brain is trying to process.
Your thoughts.
even your thoughts, which, by the way, guys, might not be your own sometimes. You might be picking up, you know, and sometimes you get a song that you barely even know, but now you know the lyrics to, and you're singing and humming in your head somehow. You're probably picking up on somebody's radio passing by, right? That stuff happens. So my point is that all that chatter and all that stuff, if you can't quiet that and focus on one thing only intentionally and shield yourself, then your results of manifestation, they will appear, but they'll be broken, sort of like broken English as opposed to somebody who's spoken it their entire life. So you're going to get the communication and the energy clearer and faster, and the universe will respond quicker because it understands you if you're able to hold the intention for more than about 7 to 10 seconds. And I mean like pure concentration on one thing only, one thought, whatever the concept is, that's it. Nothing else comes in your mind. If it does, start over. Once you're at 7 seconds, work your way up every 7 seconds. It's something about that number. I don't know why, but it's contained within ancient Vedic texts and Indian texts and things like that. So it has been mentioned in ancient circles. So thank you for that, by the way, and maybe do some research into that. That is just awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, your 5-minute preparation.
Right.
And you said, okay, I got 5 minutes, and you were aware that you might do well to have an intention, even in that short amount of time.
Exactly.
It's one thing that I've experienced in this work, and that there's two different approaches. You know, one is basically just recreational, right? I just want a trip. I just want to put my head out.
Yeah.
And then the other is, okay, I'm going on a journey to learn something about myself or about the world or existence. If you go back, you know, historically, even like tobacco, you know, we smoke tobacco regularly, but my understanding of how tobacco was used originally was a very ceremonial process. There was a long preparation for it, fasting, meditation, prayer, visualization.
Just for tobacco?
Even for tobacco. Organic
tobacco.
Yeah,
not
like
about corporate tobacco.
No, I mean, you know, from the indigenous people of Turtle Island, which is this continent. You know, they didn't have a daily tobacco routine. You know, it was a very specialized, and in fact, even amongst, I think, some of the ayahuasqueros in Central and South America, that tobacco is like a sibling, if you will, to the ayahuasca.
Yeah,
and it is very psychedelic in and of itself, if taken under certain circumstances. Typically, it's not smoked. Actually, it's ingested. It's drunk.
Really? It's ingested, and what it also does, if you ingest it, has been proven to remove fluoride and other heavy metals and ion forms of those metals, which are difficult to remove from the bones, which sit and calcify in the pineal gland and also sit in your skeletal bones. It removes and floods them out of your system. So not only does it remove it, but it doesn't just dump it into your bloodstream, which would cause, you know, some sort of reaction when people, like a detox reaction, but it assists your body in eliminating it. And again, I want to clarify, we're speaking of organic tobacco, which is not used as a daily smoking habit, but is actually ingested in a interval, meaning as a health maintenance supplement. So maybe every two weeks, sort of like a, you know, digestive cleanse or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that would, you know, for anyone who's even curious about it, I would definitely recommend, above all else, to approach it with a certain reverence. And there's even a diet, the dieta, for example, that typically in the ayahuasca community, you know, a week out, you're refraining from certain foods, like typically fermented foods, citrus. So there's certain things that the ayahuasca doesn't mix with or doesn't like very much. So there's an actual diet. So you're preparing your body to receive the ayahuasca. And then also too, there's a mental preparation. There's an emotional preparation. I have participated in, you know, okay, I'm just going to trip. I'm just going to go on a journey. And then I've been in more sacred space and more ritualistic space. So I've approached it from both sides. And I would just suggest to people who are curious about it that they approach this work with reverence, as opposed to just a party tool.
That's right, and it's very important, because my understanding is that there's a perception, oh, you're just a deadhead, and you're altering your consciousness. It's a conscious altering substance. And no, I don't believe that. I believe it's accessing an original state of awareness that spans lifetimes, which therefore takes automatic precedence and priority over any trivial, menial thing that you have in your physical life, including death or the fear of death. Right. So I would posit to anybody who would say that, you know, yes, you're welcome to your opinion, but what the hell are you doing with your life? Because I'm doing stuff with my lives, not just this life. I'm accessing information that will allow me to intentionally live over lifetimes out of the body or in the body if I come back, and have a remembering of why I'm there and what I'm doing. What are you doing with your life? You understand? So, like, priorities are really important. There's this physical survival mechanism that has been so integral in controlling people's perception of what they do with their life. Got to get a good job, got to get a house, got to get a this, can't get, you know, arrested, can't get put in jail, can't do anything wrong or outside of social moral standards, can't do any of this. What will they think of me? I can't live with myself. Well, you're only going to be here for a short period of time, my friend. Start worrying about what you want. So that's why it's important to go into these things spiritually and access the information and not waste the opportunity. Why would you refuse water while you're in a desert and haven't drank for 3 days and take alcohol or juice instead, which would be the trip as opposed to spirituality, which is the water.
Right. Interesting.
So one way you're going to die, make yourself die quicker. And the other way you're going to learn how to live, sustain.
Yeah, and definitely on the past life thing, I've gotten some feedback personally. I know other people who've gotten feedback on the past life question. So yeah, for the caller, man, it's definitely possible. Again, I think it's about intent, and again, with these substances and medicines, intent is paramount, I would say.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And again, it comes back to intent. It just is what it is. You just got to look at it. And even down to the society, it's what is the intent? Because one person could do something with one intent, and the other person could do the same thing with a different intent. And without other people knowing their intent, there's this perception of, hey, you're wrong. And the other person, oh, hey, you're justified. It's something that's communicated nonverbally. You understand?
Yeah.
So it's extremely important. Extremely important. So, John, I really appreciate it. You know, we didn't give much notice, so we'll take the responsibility and the duty of doing a better marketing job next time. And, you know, perhaps somebody else wasn't able to get on the call that was supposed to, but it is what it is. We welcome everyone. Thank you very much for your participation. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
It's just good questions all around. And what we're going to do, guys, next week for listeners, next week me and Corey are going to have a forum style again, and we are going to role play. We're just going to do balls to the wall, whatever type of situation you can think of, get as creative as we can, and I'm just going to role play and give solution after solution after solution. We'll cross many different boundaries, many different aspects of life, and we'll go from there. So our blog is also up. We'll be posting weekly, and the YouTube videos are being filmed right now, so those will be edited and will be up shortly. And Corey, do you have anything else for our listeners, anything that you want to say? Or?
Well, I would say I'm looking forward to next week. I like the role play thing. It's nice to get the concepts. But in real time is where it all happens. So hopefully we'll get some people calling in and we can just roll and knock stuff out. I would look forward to that.
Yeah, we could do that as well. If you want to integrate like a call-in thing, like we try to do this week, that's fine. I would love to do that. That would make it really interesting. We'll take all comers.
All right.
Perfect. Well, thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it. Thank you all who are listening right now. Anyone who might be listening, we appreciate you. Keep striving for passion in your life and what you're truly meant to do. Understand that this is just a very small time period in a physical container, and you are a much more expanded being. Whatever your religion is, your belief, you can still believe that and have this understanding and use it to your benefit. We love you all, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.